Blog Talk Radio.
Let's open up with a prayer. Amen.
Lord God, our hearts are full of praise and thanks for your promise. You comfort and help us with this promise every day, enabling us to hold true through all distress. Remember us in these times, and let the cry, Hosanna, rise often in our hearts. Let our bright light shine out, now as once let it shine around the Lord Jesus, showing him as King and Savior. Protect us and bless us. Bless our land and all those appointed to govern. May your spirit be with them so they may carry out your will. For your will must be done and shall surely happen. In this we trust, in this we hope. We praise you, O Lord God. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I gotta stop that beeping. There we go. Let the beeping stop. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into some great music here. Some great gospel music to start our program. We're going to play God is in Control by Doe, then the New Generation by Your Book of Songs and Moses Bliss, and then we'll play Unconditional Love by Joe Metal and Niada. Here we go.
Only you can make the wind break. I will call on you. Jesus here. by your book.
Let me hear you say it again.
Generation, come and say, come and say, I'll see. Looking for a sugar cookie monster.
He's not here.
Where is he?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. Yeah, I know.
Did you ask him to come?
Yeah, I asked him to show up, but he never replied and let me know if he was going to.
Well, if he comes back, I will look for him again.
Yeah, well, maybe next time.
All right. Put
me
on hold.
God bless. Okay, God bless. All righty. Well, let's get into the message for tonight. It's about triumphing. And then take it from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 to 12. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So I think I need to start off this chapter by saying that it never has been nor will it ever be God's intentions that we live in defeat or less than to our full potential. For some reason, we've gotten to the point of accepting certain situations in life as being influenced by the devil. And we accept the outcome without understanding that even though they may have been influenced by the devil, God allows them to take place so we could in fact begin to operate to our full potential in him. Even when those situations come our way, when we confront and handle them God's way, we're guaranteed success because there's no failure in God. That means we can't live a life in triumph, okay, and never in defeat. By definition, the word triumph means to be victorious or successful, to rejoice, exalt. So being in Christ affords us the opportunity to see the mighty power of the Lord right before our very eyes, seeing our troubles and trials that turn into triumphs. As we continue in Matthew chapter 5, we find that the Lord has made promises to people who have and will experience certain things. He dealt with the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who were meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those who were merciful and pure in heart. For each instance, the Lord promised them something that the world can't give them, but the rewards that come directly from heaven. I can't handle a promise like that. Can you? But again, in order for us to obtain those heavenly blessings, we will have to expose some of the challenges of life. And let us remember that the challenges is not there to destroy us, but to make us better for God and for the kingdom's sake. So let's look at the text. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are peacemakers," in verse 9. I have learned and am learning that it takes two people to fight, argue, and have disputes with one another. Some people will pick a fight just for the sake of picking a fight, while others will engage in that behavior to prove that they are right or prove their point. None of us are perfect, and we can't expect that we will be right all the time. I would submit that there are times when you are right, but if you would be honest with yourself, and you will also find that you are wrong sometimes too. And of course that works both ways. Sometimes it takes a bigger person to admit to being wrong, being sorry, and moving on beyond the situation. This person can be considered a peacemaker. One definition of a peacemaker is one who makes peace, especially by settling disputes. But can I be real here? There are times when we deal with some people and all we want to do is send them to meet their maker. In NCIS, slap them on the back of their head or try to destroy them by telling other people all the dirt you have on them. Obviously, this is not making or establishing peace, but trying to take matters into your own hands. And if I can help somebody, the time to react or respond to somebody is not always immediately because of response and anger is not responding in a godly manner. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Our motive should be handling things the way we believe God would want things done. He told us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. For Jesus says here, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the fight starters. The promise here for peacemakers is that they shall be called the children of God. The children of God are part of the family of God, and that means entitlements and benefits when you are a child of God. You can call on him when you can't call on anybody else. Expect him to hear and have the power to answer your prayer. Anticipate his presence around you all the time. See him moving obstacles and oppositions right out of your way. Feel him strengthening you when you begin to feel weak. Know that he loves you and will be there for you. In the natural, if we get locked up, your earthly father can bail you out. With God, when life tries to put you on a lockdown, God can make you so free. So you'll be free indeed. If you want those benefits, you must be a peacemaker. In verses 10 11, those who are persecuted and reviled. Let me ask you a question here. Does anybody here know anything about being persecuted? Persecution takes place anywhere and practically everywhere we go. Sometimes we're persecuted for where we live. Sometimes we're persecuted because of the jobs we have. Sometimes we're persecuted because of the friends we have. And there are so many other reasons why people would intentionally come after us or attack us. Because we're human, we should anticipate that we will have haters out there. But Jesus is referring to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He's talking about those who take a stand for the gospel and not bow down to peer pressure or political correctness. In these days and times we're living in, we can all see and experience what it's like to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Bible teaches in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. As I think about what's taking place in recent history, I come across something on Facebook that ties into this. The statement goes, and paraphrasing, Tim Tebow professes to be a Christian, and he was told to keep that to himself. Yet Jason Collins admits to being gay and the current president of the United States. A former president of the United States and NBA commissioner all applauded him for admitting to his alternative lifestyle. Do you think Tim Tebow has been persecuted for righteousness' sake? What about the people on their jobs who want to talk about Jesus during breaks or share something special that happened during worship the day before, and the job says you can't talk about Christ while he's there? Yeah, people can tell all the dirty jokes they can and talk about their weekend encounters without persecution whatsoever. Jesus wants us to know that we are in good company for being persecuted for righteousness' sake, because he was persecuted as well. He told us in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that they hated me before they had hated you. The person who is persecuted for righteousness' sake says, Jesus, there is the kingdom of God. What can be found in the kingdom of God? I'm glad you asked that question. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of God, there is no corruption, no curse, no killing or death, no more sorrow, no thief or stealing, no defilement or wickedness, and no more pain and suffering. You will inherit a mansion and be with Jesus throughout eternity. But keep in mind, you will endure some persecution in order to get to the kingdom of heaven. When you are a peacemaker, it empowers you to be triumphant. When you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, it empowers you to be triumphant. We do know that we have to go through something in order to achieve the reward. Jesus tells us in verse 12 to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And guess what? When you have Jesus on your side, you have a reason to rejoice. When you know that Jesus has your back, you have a reason to rejoice. When you know that what Jesus has promised will indeed come to pass, you have a reason to rejoice. We can rejoice because the Bible teaches in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, well, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, thou most high. And in Psalms chapter 13, verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And lastly, Psalms chapter 32, verse 11, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So Jesus makes a difference in all of your going through. Enabling you to thrive and making you triumphant. He said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what has the Lord overcome? Well, he's overcoming being tempted by the devil. He's overcome being betrayed by a friend. He's overcome being falsely accused. He's overcome being beaten till he was unrecognizable. He's overcome being crucified on Calvary's cross. He's overcome being buried in a borrowed tomb. He's overcome death by rising early on a Sunday morning. And he's coming back with all the power in his hands because he is triumphant. That makes us triumphant. Amen. I hope you got something from the service, okay, and you apply it to your life. Amen. Let's get into Luke chapter 21. In today's lesson, we will answer the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? How we answer this question will have serious implications for our faith. Why? Because if we don't understand that bad things can and will happen to good people on earth, it will be very difficult for us to persevere and endure through life's many challenges. Satan is the ruler of the earth. Did you know that Satan is referred to as the ruler of the earth several times in the Bible? That is not something that we hear a lot. But that's exactly what the Bible says. Consider these four scriptures and then consider what implications they have for us as we allow Christ and seek out a path to heaven. In 1 John chapter 5, 19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And in John chapter 12, verse 31, the ruler of this world will be cast out. And in John chapter 14, verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. In these four verses, Satan is referred to as the evil one, the God of this world, and the ruler of the world twice. Knowing this, we need to pause and consider the implications for those of us that are seeking to go to heaven. Understanding that Satan is the ruler of the earth explains a lot of the tragedies and evil that we see on a day-to-day basis. So when we understand that God's permitting Satan to rule the earth for a period of time, it helps explain why bad things happen to good people. Suffering is a part of God's plan. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained that God allows good things to happen to bad people and bad things to happen to good people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45, you have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the above scripture talks about both the rain and the sun. This is interesting because on the one hand, rain is necessary to sustain life. It waters the plants and replenishes the seas. On the other hand, water causes flooding, which can cause catastrophic damage and even death. similarly, the sun sustains life, but it can also take it. Drought, skin cancer, etc. So when you read the above scripture, if you understand that it's talking about how God allows bad things to happen to good people, and vice versa. As children of God, we need to understand that God is not the source of these bad things. Satan is. We also need to understand the three reasons why God allows suffering to occur. God allows suffering to teach us, to discipline us, and to reveal his supreme power. In Paul's letter to Romans, he said, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. So the above scripture tells us that God uses suffering to teach us. Through our tribulations, we develop perseverance, character, and ultimately hope. And while nobody likes adversity, while they are going through it, it is a great teacher. Another reason that God allows us to experience suffering is to discipline us. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 6, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son who you receive. So the third reason that God allows us to suffer is to keep us humble, and to remind us of just how dependent on him we are. When everything is going perfectly in our lives, Satan can trigger us into having a false sense of security. If we never had any problems, we might begin to think that we can make it on our own and that we did not need God. So suffering is temporary. The good news for all of us is that suffering in this life is temporary and nothing compared to the joy that awaits those who are faithful to the Lord. So consider these two verses. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect and confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So now that we understand that Satan is the source of all evil on earth and not God, we need to look at the importance of endurance and perseverance in the lives of Christians. We will begin with two definitions. Endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite the difficulties, failures, or oppositions. The above definitions use the word hardship, adversity, difficulties, and the opposition. The Bible is clear that we're all going to suffer. Jesus suffered. The apostle suffers, and so will we. The key for us is to stay focused on what lies ahead and to persevere. Bible verses about endurance and perseverance. As we have seen, Satan is the source of all evil and suffering on earth. For today's lesson, we've highlighted some Bible verses on the topics of perseverance and endurance. These three verses encourage us to keep going, to not lose hope, and to keep our eye on the prize that awaits in the faithful in Jesus. In James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. But once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, we will also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character in hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So Satan is the ruler of the earth for a limited time. Because of this, suffering is inevitable in the life of Christians. Suffering is a part of God's plan. He allows us to teach us, to discipline us, and to help us reach our full potential as Christians. And while suffering is never pleasant, it's a crucial step in development of any Christian. It's also only temporary. The book of Revelation tells us that after he has reigned, Satan will be defeated and condemned for all eternity. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived him was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So after that, the faithful of Jesus will reign with him in heaven for all eternity. So we will end today's lesson with the following words spoken by the Apostle Paul. They are the same words that we want to be able to say at the end of our time on earth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Amen. I hope this Bible message, okay, about what happens to, why things happen to good people, why bad things happen to good people, okay, let you know where it's coming from. Amen. Well, we're going to do an altar call. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is say this simple prayer after me. Say, Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sin and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your holy begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I am now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as my Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. In this very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And I also want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we hear it. God's Rainbow Message, we'd like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to see you, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would love you to call in to area 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And press that one key, and I'll bring you on so that you can tell the world that you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. All righty. Well, let's take some callers here. 111, you're on air.
I didn't get that whole speech. You said God does things to good people or bad people.
Yes, he does. He allows things to happen to us.
good people or bad people.
He allows things to happen to the good people as well as the bad people.
Well, why did he give that Johnny Longfeather that Pierogi's disease and kill him?
Say what?
Johnny Longfeather suffered from Pierogi's disease that he killed him. Why did God do that?
Johnny Longfeather is not dead.
Have you heard from him?
Oh, I see him typing in Discord. And he sends me messages and privately messages.
Well, then why did God give him Pierogi's disease?
I don't think he did.
Oh, he did, all right. He used to call him Kofrak when I was a kid. So misshapen penis. Pierogi's disease.
Okay, let's check another caller here. 111. You're on air.
Hi, I was told to call this number from the next stall. I ran out of toilet paper. I was wondering if you could give me some toilet paper. They told me that this
was
a
shit show. No, this is not a toilet paper number. This is a God's Rainbow Ministry.
Oh, they told me that this was a shit show. So I wanted to get some toilet paper, okay?
Okay, well, good luck on that, sir. We don't provide toilet paper here.
But the guy in the next stall said that you guys provide it, and you guys could
get
Grubhub.
We don't provide
instead
it.
Instead of Grubhub, it's called Toilet Paper Hub.
Well, you're going to have to don't buy it, but we don't have any here. Okay. Talk to you later, buddy. All right. Oh, I see Pastor Wanda is in the house. Let's bring Pastor Wanda on. Hey, Pastor Wanda, how you doing tonight?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm just listening. That's all.
Are you
so
just listening
you?
And you don't want to get?
No, I'm not even speaking. No, I'm just listening. God got me listening. That's it. I done spoke enough all through Atlanta and I done spoke enough in Kenya and London, Zimbabwe. I done did everything he wanted me to do, so I'm just listening. I'll let you know when he releases
well,
it. Come back
about
and speak.
The sermon tonight?
Sir?
What do you think about
Hello?
The sermon tonight on Triumph?
It's awesome. Awesome. Yes, that's a lot of people need to hear that. They need to hear the word of God, and that's the oracles of God because it tells you what the enemy comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy. But, you know, you have to understand we have Jesus, but he said, but I have came that you may have life, life more abundant, John 10:10. See, if you in the body of Christ, God have never lost a battle, you never lose a battle because he's your father,
Amen.
He's your Abba, but he teaches you how to fight through the word of God and prayer. And praise.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Wanda, for that insight. Amen. All right. I guess I'll let you go back to listening, and we'll play some good music here. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to play Holy Forever by C.C. Winans, again by Kirk Franklin, Chandler Moore, and Tori Kelly, and then we'll play He Sees You by Taran.
don't know how, and I can't tell you when our fears will all fade and a new season begins. But I know somehow how the story will end. See, I believe God.
I know somehow how to start. never make me feel ashamed. When I'm hurting, he handles every question in my searching. Even when I wonder if he's working, he takes all of the fear away. So when you think that you're stuck in the place you're standing,
I'm gonna play them. Yeah, I promise I'm gonna play them.
Don't you dare, Kenny. I own you.
I'm going to.
You listen to me.
Yes, I am. Nope. I'm going to play the song. See you later. Goodbye. No, it's another 1-1-1. Okay. I'm going to play. I got two songs requested by DC2, my dear brother, and I'm going to see if I have them. Okay? Yes, I do. I'm going to play you. The first song is by Curtis Mayfield. It's Freddy's Dead. Here we go. Let's hear it and see what it's all about. I've never heard it.
Yeah.
Curtis Mayfield and Freddy Dad. Now, the second song DC2 requested is by Rick James. It's called Mary Jane. Here we go.
Thank you.
tonight's songs. I played them. I hope you heard them. God bless them. Amen. All righty. I'm going to give a shout-out to Mike Hunt, Ashley, Tony Farrar. Give a shout-out to DC2, Johnny Longfeather. Okay, give a shout-out to Toss of Salad. Give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama. God loves you. So do I. Amen. 111, let's take your call. We'll try another one. 111. Okay. Try another one. 111. You're on it.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, I missed folks' show. What did I miss?
Say what?
What did I miss?
You pretty much missed the whole show if you weren't listening.
Well, tell me what I missed.
I missed a sermon on triumphing. A Bible lesson on why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people.
Is that it?
And then some music. That was basically it there, sir.
What music did I miss?
I don't know. Did you hear the last two songs I played? Okay, by Curtis Mayfield, Freddie's Dead, and Rick James, Mary Jane.
Give me a little number of how that went.
I hope you heard him. Let me just take it on the call here. 111, you're on here. Okay, try another one. 111, you're on here. Okay. All righty. Well,
I'm a music girl. I want to play for myself.
Huh?
I'm a music girl. I want to play for myself.
You want to play them yourself?
Yeah, to the music. Sing a couple of bars.
What do you want to sing?
I miss the music. Your music?
I got gospel music, pretty much. Okay?
Let's take one after that. And sing a couple of bars.
Okay, hold on. We got a couple more calls here. 111. Let's try this again. 111. Okay. 111. Okay. Goodbye.
All right. How's that Negro woman sing? I heard those women can sing real well.
The show's almost over. I'm going to say God bless everybody. Okay. Have a wonderful night. Okay.
Jesus, you up.